Today is October the 11th of the year of our Lord 2009, and we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 8. If you want to grab a Bible out of the pew and open that, that'd be great. And we're going to talk about hearing from God through others. We could say hearing from God through the church. So, can we hear from God through our prayer time? Is that something that's possible and that works? We've talked about that. I believe it does. We heard a great testimony this morning of hearing God speak through Proverbs. Does the Word of God speak to us in practical ways to our life if you do the efforts to get into it? And lastly, who has heard God speak to them through a person? Anybody ever had that happen? The truth of God, the Word of God spoke to you through a person. Now, here's an interesting question. Did you come here today expecting to hear from God? My life was challenged with that truth this week in a devotional that I was doing, that many people stop expecting to hear from God. And so they may pray, but they really don't leave any time in there for God to speak to them. They may read their Bible, but it's just one of the things I need to do today. And they're really not expecting God to hear or to hear from God in those efforts. And do you expect God to use you to speak to others? I think there's a great deal of faith and expectation that we could add into our lives that would improve the quality of our experience. I mean, I just came back from vacation, and I had some expectations about vacation. How many of you can relate to that? And they were all met. It was a great deal. But I also had some expectations coming home. Now, many of you who have went on vacation and come home, you know, the expectations for vacation sometimes are more positive than the expectations of coming home, right? But the fact of the matter is, oftentimes what we expect really does have an impact on what we experience. Does that make sense? So what I'm encouraging you to do is to improve your expectation of God speaking. What about the people in the Bible? As you look at the Bible, do you see how God speaking through those people had an impact in your life? John the Baptist. As we were reading, those of you who are reading the Bible through with me, as we read that just today, Jesus was saying that many of the scribes and Pharisees didn't hear from God through John the Baptist and Jesus. They studied the scriptures diligently, but they didn't expect God to speak to them through a guy in camel's hair who ate bugs and honey. And they definitely didn't expect God to speak through this Nazareth guy? What's up with that? Nothing good comes from Nazareth, right? This guy eats and drinks wine and hangs out with sinners, you know? They didn't expect. But the people in the Bible can speak to our lives, can't they? Do you remember being in a Christian service and sense the impact of someone speaking the truth of God into your life? How many of you have a testimony of that? You remember that happening to you. So, have you ever heard from a song? Marty sings a song or somebody else sings a song, and them speaking to you through that song caused you to respond to God in some way. Can you remember that? So what I'm trying to convince you of before we even get into the message is that God does speak to us through people, through John the Baptist, through Elijah, through, and sometimes they even use people that are alive. I mean, if I didn't expect God to speak through me, I'd go make donuts someplace. Or do something, you know, that'd be a really great job for me. Make glazed donuts. I'd love to work at the Krispy Kreme factory. There's a reject. You know? But I really do expect God to use me, even though I'm not that gifted of a guy. So, what would be the attitude and the demeanor of a person for God to use them to speak in some way? And would you like to be a person that God could use? So as we look at 1 Peter, really what we're going to look at is how could God change our lives like he did Peter's in such a way that our demeanor and our attitude would be conducive for him to use us and encourage you to want to be one of those people. So does your mind ever go into the what if mode? What if that? What if I didn't? What if he or she did that? Do you ever get tangled in that? What if I say this? Then they're going to say that. What if I don't say that? Then they wouldn't do this. What if she says that or he does that? Do you ever get tangled up in that? I do. I do that all the time. Would you like to find a day-to-day way of living life pattern that minimizes the potential for that problem of the what ifs? That you lived in it such a way and spoke the truth in such a smooth-flowing way that you didn't have to wrestle with the what ifs? So, as we look at the book written by Peter, was he a man that God could use to speak to us? Yeah, I think he was. Now, did God do some changing of Peter before he wrote the first book to us? This is 1 Peter. He did some adjusting in Peter's life, didn't he? So logically then, would it be reasonable for us to conclude that possibly he wanted to do some stuff in our lives before we wrote First Wilmer or First Don or First what? Yeah. Here was what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, some of you, the chosen ones of you, right? The good-looking ones of you. What does it say? All of you. So, which of us in this congregation or who out there listening on the World Wide Web is not included in all? All kind of pretty much wraps it all up, doesn't it? All of us live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, and be compassionate and humble. So let me suggest to you that there are five things we'll look at this morning rather quick that God changed in Peter. And he may want to change in you and I too. First of all, we speak in harmony. Secondly, we speak with sympathy. Thirdly, we speak truth in love. Fourthly, we speak compassionately. And fifthly, we speak from humility. So let's define harmony as pursuing the same goals. We could define that in many ways, but that's the definition. Was the Peter Jesus met at the lake that we read about earlier this week in our Bible reading a man who had harmony as a life pattern? When Jesus first met Peter, was he the same guy as he wrote in 1 Peter? No, he really wasn't. If God could change Peter, then can he change me? I should have put a then in there. If God could change Peter, then can he change me? I think so. If he could change Peter, he could do me. Did Jesus choose Peter and others like you and me to show what a difference true personal faith can make in life? Is it possible that he picked people that when he changed them into the likeness of his son, there was a dramatic change such that it impressed people? Can you think of a time when Jesus and Peter weren't in harmony? I picked one in Matthew 16:23 that says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan!" Exclamation point. "You're a stumbling block to me, and you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Now, that doesn't sound like harmony to me, does it to you? If you're calling your friends Satan, and you're the son of God, that's really not in harmony. But if you remember what it said in Matthew 16:16, Peter does this amazing thing that Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter says, "Well, you're the son of God. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah." And Jesus says, "Peter, God showed that to you. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And I'm going to build my church on you, Peter the Rock." Well, that's in 16:16. How many verses does it get to 23? You know, God's in the process of developing Peter in the context of this. He's also in the process of developing you and me. And so there are some times in 16:16 where we're going to be smack bone right on. And then by 23, we can be going the other direction. That's why we're going to talk about repentance in a couple weeks. Now, the Peter who speaks to us from the first book is a different man, isn't he? if we as believers have different goals, what are we saying to others? If we're not on the same page living the life that God calls us to, what does that say to others? It doesn't speak well. Is living in harmony and unity a goal of the Church of the United Brethren in Christ? One of our primary goals as a denomination is to have harmony, to be in unity. And there's a very simple core things that we believe in. If you believe in them, we can get along real well with you. So this is a major goal. Now, did Jesus' life demonstrate this harmony? Did we read this week that when Jesus was speaking in the synagogue, he said things to the scribes there, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I can only do the Father's will. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father live in perfect harmony all the time. They always are in harmony. And we have the potential to experience that as well. So is that a goal in your life, to live like that in harmony? So the second thing we want to talk about is sympathy. And we'll define that as being responsive to others' needs. Now, who was better at that naturally, this sympathy deal? Was it Peter or his little brother Andrew? Andrew was a little naturally better at that thing. He was always going to get things and people were coming to him. And he naturally had a better handle on this. But does the testimony of our time with Jesus and him changing our lives speak to Peter or speak to people? Of course it does. As God changed Peter, people saw his life changed. My wife and I were having a serious conversation, and she said in the midst of that, Wilmer, you're not the guy that you were back then. You're different than what you were back then. God has changed me, and that speaks to people even within our families. So, if I become more responsive to other people's needs, would people notice? If we go outside of what we normally do, people would notice that. Can it be as simple as thinking of what they want or need before what I want or need? It could be just as simple as putting Jesus first, others second, and me third. That probably, if we took that as a habit pattern of our life, would speak to people. So what's your time habit? Do you have the habit of taking God-given opportunities to speak about love and relationship with Jesus? Is that a time management thing to do? Or is your habit to be more careless and waste precious time? Do you say there's plenty of time to do this or that? I think just like expectation, this time, we tend to live with, well, I can do that anytime. You know, there's lots of time to get that done. But I think in a real practical sense, allowing our lives to be changed is something we should do now, and we should begin to invest the time God gives us in a different pattern, that life is really fragile. You know, we talk about birth and death this morning. Death comes so quickly, and our lives are such fragile things. Our bodies break, and we die really easily. It's important for us not to waste any more time, but to take the opportunities today, tomorrow, this week, to allow God to change our lives and allow God to speak to us. Now, how did Jesus' life demonstrate this quality of sympathy with others? Well, as we read this week, when Jesus was speaking to the people and the leaders in Mark 3 in the synagogue, on a Sabbath day, he asked the leaders, is it a good thing to do right on Sabbath or not? And they were watching him to see if he would heal. And there was a guy there who had his arm that didn't work right. It had never worked right. Jesus had the sympathy to say to him, stretch out your arm. He was very sympathetic. As we read this morning, there were lots of illustrations of him being sympathetic to people's needs. Going out of his way to go to a Gentile's house to heal his servant. He was very sympathetic, and that could be something we could develop in our life. So we speak in harmony, we speak with sympathy, and we speak the truth in love. And let's define love as seeing and treating each other as brothers and sisters. Now, you have to do that from an adult perspective. You can't do that from a childish perspective, because when we were children, we acted like children, and we're not children anymore. But when you were a brother or a sister, you probably didn't treat your brother and sister the way you would now. So we're talking about an adult brother-sister relationship. But would that change how I spoke to others? If I talked to them like they were family, would that change? I think it would. You tend to be more honest and open sometimes with family, more caring and more interested when it's family. So I think that that would change our perspective a lot. In 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, "Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So don't pay back evil for evil or insult for insult, but give them a blessing. If someone were to look at your life and not merely your words, what would your life be telling people? The life of Christ in you can be speaking to others as you live day to day in the process of putting off the old person that you used to be, realizing that was crucified with Christ, and putting on the new person you are in Christ. It's a process that Peter went through, that you and I go through on a daily basis, day to day. We put off the old. That's the way I used to respond to that. Put on the new. This is the way Christ and I would respond to that. You see the difference? And when you mess up and you're not doing it in the new way, then you repent and you confess that, so that it is a testimony to people. So, do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with a blessing. How we respond to the evil insults that each of us get each day does speak to others. As you go through life this afternoon, tomorrow when you go to work, there will be people that respond to you in less than a nice way, won't there? Or is my life the only one that seems to get those? They do, and how we respond to that really speaks. If we are a blessing, we will inherit a blessing. Now, you don't do it for the blessing, but the guarantee is, if you do this, you'll get that. And that's pretty cool. I would like to live a blessed life. Anybody else? How you do that is you become a blessing to others, and in that process, you get blessed. So how did Jesus' life demonstrate that? Did you read this Friday that when Jesus was speaking in Luke 6, he put a lot of details into the how-to yesterday when you read Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, and Matthew 6. It had a lot of the how-tos to live out this concept of love to the nice people in your life and to the nasty people you experience in a daily pattern. So in that section, there's a lot of practical how-tos to demonstrate to you how to be a blessing. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those. Remember those? And then he goes on. This is how you get a blessing, but you forgive others and you get forgiven. There's a lot of details in how to do that. So we speak in harmony. We speak in sympathy. We speak the truth in love. We speak compassionately. And let's say that speaking compassionately is being affectionate and sensitive and caring. Do I let my positive emotions become involved in conversations? Or is your life pattern more like mine, that if emotions get involved, they are less than the positive ones? Does anybody else notice that flesh pattern in your life? What I'm encouraging you to do, and it's very biblical, is to allow the positive, loving emotions to come out. So how does my body language speak to others? Am I willing to touch somebody in Christian love? Do I greet in a conversation with a complimentary token of affection? And do I part with a compassionate closing? Is that a habit pattern in your life? That when you greet somebody, you're willing to touch them, you're willing to hug them, you want to make eye contact with them, and when you leave them, you want to touch them, you want to hug them, you want to tell them you love them. Is that a normal habit pattern? It could become a pattern in you and I lives. Now, is there a fear that keeps you from living like that? I have guys tell me all the time, well, I couldn't be the pastor of a church like you and hug all those people because I'm afraid of what might happen if I hugged a woman. And I'm thinking, she's my sister. What's going to happen? Think about it. It's my sister, right? It's my brother. Is there a fear in your life that keeps you from being this sensitive, compassionate person who allows your emotions to be expressed? The preacher that was here before me, Jim, was very emotional and cried a lot. Now, I do that periodically, but it's a good thing to let those positive emotions out. Now, did Jesus' life demonstrate this quality of compassion to Peter and us? Sure it did. Did you read just this week that when Jesus was speaking in Matthew 8, 2 and 3, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean, and immediately was cured of the leprosy. And I read that just this morning in today's Bible reading. Same story. Now, leprosy is an ugly thing. And it was a definite no-no in the Jewish culture to touch an unclean person. It made you unclean. But Jesus was willing to do that. So, am I willing to touch a sick person? Am I willing to hug somebody who's sick? Are you? People say, well, don't hug me because I might have a flu bug. So might anybody else I pass in the store. I'm going to hug you anyway. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. If I don't, I don't, right? Don't let your fears not allow you to have this compassion of touching people. There are a lot of people that you will meet today and tomorrow and this week that nobody ever hugs them and touches them. No one ever looks them in the eye and says they love them. But you could be that person. So I speak in harmony, I speak in sympathy, I speak the truth in love, I speak compassionately, and finally, I speak from humility. Let's say humility is being willing to encourage one another and rejoice in each other's successes. So here in 1 Peter, we see the once rash, belligerent, domineering, and arrogant Peter now bears witness to a life of harmony, compassion, love, and humility. So, what a difference God's life made in Peter. You too can be a witness to skeptical people as you change. Let your life be an evidence in speaking to others about God's truth. Will you let pride become humility in your life? And insensitivity give way to genuine affection. Not token fake affection, but real personal affection to other people. Could it be that Peter learned the two things that Jesus told us to learn from him, to be gentle and humble? Think about that. Tomorrow when you read Matthew 11, when you read the Bible through with me, you'll read Matthew 11. Jesus will say, come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now learn from me to be gentle and humble. Or if you read King James, meek and lowly. Those are the two things that Jesus is telling us to learn. And Peter learned them. You and I can too. If Peter could learn it, I can and you can, right? These five qualities go a long ways towards helping believers speak effectively for God. Like Peter, we do need to be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Each one of us does. It's an ongoing process. It's never done until you're dead. Ongoing process. So where is God speaking to you? Which one of those five things is He saying to you? Will you let the Holy Spirit speak through your life this week? Will you actually expect, anticipate, believe God's going to use you? So here's the conclusion. I'll read to you a couple more verses from 1 Peter chapter 3, 10, 11, and 12. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Man, I want to be that guy. You want to be that girl? God is attentive to our prayers because of how we speak. And lastly, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So let's be involved in this putting off, putting on process. Let's be involved in this transformation process. Let's be involved in allowing God to speak through us, and let's expect God to speak through us.